Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Provincial State of Mind. Myself, Owen Harrison, Jeff Neville and Tom Savage. This is a podcast focused on all four Irish provincial sides in both the URC and European competitions, the Irish national side. We discuss what happened the previous weekend, what we can expect from each province or upcoming games, as well as any major off-field news. So, Tom, just myself and yourself tonight. No, Jeff. What have you been up to this week?
And you blew the intro.
I did. I fluffed it completely.
You'd think we just record it at this stage and just play it at the start. But no.
That would mean extra editing, and we don't do that.
And it's like, can I be arsed doing that? No. I could probably even just add it to the intro music, but no. No, that's not what we're doing. I've been getting sunburned. That's what I've been doing. We've had some good weather in Ireland in the last week or so. I've been out every day in the backyard. Today I was mowing the lawn. I'm a little more purple than normal, as you can see here. A little bit more purple. I got a bit of a sunburn. But I'm happy. I'm happy being sunburned. It's nice. I think it's my natural state as an Irish guy. When the sun's out, I think it's my constitutional right to be sunburned. And I'm exercising that right at the moment. And it goes no further than here. As you can see, there's no sunburn there on the top of that. So I am
a good farmer's tan there.
A good farmer's tan. So that's what I've been doing. Just getting sunburned and getting worn out by my little girl. Worn out.
I have, in the last week, I have now moved from winter clothes into summer clothes. So I'm now wearing shorts and will continue to wear shorts until probably October, November.
Christmas Eve. That's when the shorts come off.
That's it.
I've been looking at just... Again, I've been trying to do sea swimming because, again, I've obviously been learning the art of swimming, and now I'm taking it outdoors into the biggest swimming pool there is, the Atlantic Ocean. Actually, no, the Pacific Ocean is probably bigger. The Atlantic Ocean is where I've been because, you know, as you know, I'm regularly down in Kerry, down in Castle Gregory, and I've been trying to get sea swimming to go. First of all, it's much colder than a swimming pool. The ocean. Not sure if you knew that. And also
not heated.
Also, there's loads of little fucking ghoulies, loads of little fucking sea bugs and fish in there as well. Like jellyfish. Which are not fun. That again is not in my local swimming pool. So it's challenging to say the least.
And stones. They have stones. There's stones. On the ground.
Not a nice feature. Didn't like that feature of them, to be honest. Although where we go to the beach, there's this a sauna now. Most beaches in Ireland have this little sauna thing now where you book your time, you go into the sauna, and you go out, there's a little plunge pool, or you're into the sea itself, you run in, then you run back into the sauna. I don't like talking to people. Right. So like if I'm inside there, I don't want to talk to no one inside there. So we were sat down there the other day, myself and herself, and this couple come in, and like we're just there quiet out, like just it's hot in here, I don't want to be talking. These ones come in and they're straight away, "Where are you from?" I'm not sure where they were from. I think they were from England, I think. And I'm just like, "Yeah, I'm living in Limerick, from Cork originally, because that's what all Cork people do." And I was kind of giving off big shut up and don't talk to me vibes, but they were not picking them up. So they were talking about the fucking weather, they were talking about the beach, "Isn't it lovely? Yeah, we can see out the fucking window, it's lovely, all right, yeah." I'm just like, "Come on, don't be talking to me. I'm in a sauna. We're both in shorts here. We're both sweating our fucking holes off. Don't be talking to me. I don't want to talk to you." And I was just there basically kind of going, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. And where are you from?"
Keep the answer short. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Big fuck off vibes. Don't talk to me vibes. That was me now inside there. Also, Owen, I've decided I want to get into wine.
Oh, I don't know.
Are you into wine?
No, I am not. I don't actually drink wine because when I drink wine at the same pace that I drink beer. So after about an hour, I'm on my fucking ear. It just ends very badly.
I've decided, oh, I kind of want to get into wine, mainly because the other day I said I have a few drinks. Yourself said, look, we're down by the beach. The weather is nice. Well, I get you a few cans in the shop. I'm like, yeah, do you? So she gets me these little cans of Rye River beer. I didn't check the side of these when I was drinking them. 7%, right? So I had like three or four of these, and I was thinking, oh, these are going down nice and easy now. These are fruity, these things. Nice. And I was so sick the day after. And I'm thinking, would this happen with wine? No, I'm going to try and get into wine. I'm going to try and get into, because I don't really drink wine. I'm thinking maybe wine would be better. Maybe I'd feel more sophisticated if I had wine.
That's it. You look more sophisticated, but then, as I said, I drink it at the same rate as I drink beer. So after a very short time, I am no longer sophisticated.
Because I get here thinking, like, am I really puking in a mobile home toilet? Like, I owe for 40 years of age after four of these cans. No, that's not sophisticated. I run a moderately successful rugby content platform. I should be more sophisticated.
What did I do this week? Oh, I was up in Dublin actually for work this week, so I
That's
had the pleasure.
disgusting.
I know, the dealing with traffic again since post-COVID. It's actually getting in and being into around the M50 and trying to get into the city centre is just, it's the first time I've been in the office in Dublin for a long while, and yeah,
The coffee up
not
here
a
is very
fan of it.
expensive. It's kind of it's very pricey to be flinging that into the face of the intern.
Yes. Now, to be fair, the company does provide free coffee for us in the
Well, there
office.
you go.
So
Obviously, that's one of the
that makes
perks
it
of this
easier
job
to
anyway.
flake, you know, because they couldn't have managers paying for their coffee just to be throwing it at staff. That'd be ridiculous.
What a waste of resources. Stand in line there, you. Come here, you.
But yeah, the price of things, like going out for lunch and going out for lunch, it was like 20 quid for a burger, chips, like.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, is this like one of those? Now, I went to a place in Cork before called Bunsen, and it had this kind of weird, 80s diner aesthetic kind of. And I paid
No,
something ridiculous for a burger. I'm just like taking the piss here now.
was like just a restaurant, like I know American style restaurant thing, and it was like they had like a Philly
Oh,
cheesesteak
was it
and.
Five Guys?
No, it was just a normal restaurant down the IFSC, and it was like everything was 20 was around about 20 quid, whether you had like a Philly cheesesteak, whether you had a burger, whether you had a pizza. It was like all these things. I was like 20 quid for this.
I'd be looking to get five or six burgers for €20 above and fucking the chip house in Rackheel.
Yeah. Sophistication was lost on me, Tom. The
Yeah,
sophistication of the restaurant
no.
was lost on me.
This is not a podcast for a fella to be spending €20 on burgers. One
No.
burger?
That is not our target market.
Before we get started on the rugby, that reminds me of a time in my life when I was feeling very bad. And at the time I was eating my feelings. And in the little I was back in my little village in West Cork at the time, and I thought, you know what? I'm hungry. I'm 20 stone and I'm hungry. And I'm feeling sad, so I'm gonna go get some burgers. So I walked down to the local chipper with my brother with me. And I remember looking up at the thing and going, they do half-pound burgers here. So I said to the brother, ha a half-pound burger? And he's like, yeah, they're really big. And I was like, I'm a very hungry guy. So I go up to the counter, and the one behind the counter was Polish, I think it was, or Eastern European. I don't want to, she could be any nationality, really. And I was just like, could I get 2 half-pound burgers, please? And she looks at me kind of going, two 2 half-pound burger meals? And then I was just like, no, 2 half-pound burgers. Like almost kind of gesticulating at myself. No, they're both for me. Two of those for me. Because then she asked the brother what he was having. He was like, I'm not having anything. So I ended up getting those 2 half-pound burgers, sat down in this kind of grim, rural West Cork fast food place and ate them under fluorescent lights, and then felt really bad about myself on the way home with 1 pound of burger in me.
Sitting in your stomach, oh jeez.
No fancy €20 burgers there up in the IFSC. Just the misery burger supreme.
Yeah. A 1/2 pound salad burger, please.
1/2 pound salad burger. Hold the salad.
Yeah.
And make it 1/2 pound burger.
Yeah.
Oh, we have lots of rugby.
We do. We better get into the rugby. We'll start off with the first match from last weekend, which was Ulster against Cardiff. Ulster sneaked a 19-17 win over Cardiff. And there was the Welsh rugby guys are not happy. I think they've launched a formal complaint. The Welsh Rugby Union have lodged a formal complaint against Mike Adamson and his refereeing team or officiating team over this.
I try to put myself into the shoes of a Cardiff fan for this, and how I would feel after this game, and I would be passively aggressively posting on Twitter that I would later delete. That's what I think I would be. That's where I think I'd be mentally. Even Richie Murphy, Alan O'Connor at the end, were like, I don't know about that. Because like, I remember looking at it at the time and I was thinking, geez, like, okay, like maybe that went forward, but like, there's no way it's clear and obvious, and there's no way that's enough to pull it back for the try, because there was a try scored. He's like, if it was the case that there wasn't a try scored, would they have gone back to look at a deliberate knock on there? I don't even think they would have.
No.
Because I think we know, right, watching games like this, how difficult it is to get one of those game-winning or game-losing penalties in the end game when there's a big defensive set going on or an attacking set going on. Referees in general don't tend to hand you, oh yeah, well look, there's 3 points for not rolling away. There's a bit of leeway there that maybe there wouldn't be for the, you know, the other 78.
It has to be clear and obvious sort of infringement, I think.
Thing is, I'm not sure if they would have given a knock on. I'm not sure if there had been a try that they would have called that as a penalty. And that's, I think, what kind of got me about it was, if they hadn't scored, I'm not sure they go back and look at that. It's only because they scored that they did. And I'm not sure it was clear and obvious that there was a knock on at all on the angles I saw.
I think there was one angle that said that looked like he had made contact with the ball before it got to the Ulster player. I couldn't swear on it. And even then, do you call it like I think you could probably be more sympathetic to the game if he had even just given a scrum.
If you'd given a scrum, I think people would have gone, okay. I don't think that was enough for a penalty, basically.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was enough to win the game for Ulster when it was so marginal, and I couldn't tell you whether that ball went forward or not. Like, if it was a case that there was, like, what, like 1/2 inch of forward movement before it touched the Ulster player, I'm not sure we saw that enough there. If he'd said, look, scrum Ulster, that would have been somewhat controversial, I think. But I think it would have been forgotten about. You defend a scrum. If you win a scrum penalty, fair enough.
Yeah.
Or if you score off the scrum, fair enough. But it felt wrong looking at it. Like, I had seen something that it was like, that to me now feels a bit off.
I always think with referees, and look, Mike Adamson is Mike Adamson, right? And I think we need to park that for a little while for the moment. But like, I think with referees, the one thing that you always want to say is they didn't decide the game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I felt it felt wrong to me was that the referee there basically gave, because the penalty was right in front of the post, so the referee gave that to Ulster. And I think in context, I'm thinking that to me felt wrong, as in give, if it was a scrum down, as you said there, I think most people would have been happy with that. It just felt, I can see why Cardiff are aggrieved. At the same time, referees don't deserve to be abused. I feel that we can talk about a refereeing decision possibly being wrong without that being framed as abusing a referee as well. Because obviously it was a huge talking point in the game, and pretending that it wasn't is, to me, like, daft. Like, it's obviously a huge part of the game, so you can't make that go away.
Yeah, and the other one then is, there was also controversy, or a little bit of controversy, over the non-Cardiff try just before that, the try-saving tackle in the corner, where the ball was actually, I won't say kicked out, but knocked out by the foot of the Ulster player.
Like, and when you combine that with how the game ended, you can see why Cardiff were fuming, because if that penalty, if that try was given, like, there's no, like, the penalty at the end doesn't matter.
Now, I don't think it was a deliberate kick out. I think it was just the way he tackled the guy, and the guy tried to put the ball down. I think, you know, I don't necessarily see it as a deliberate act. But again, when you combine the two things, it looked bad, and I can understand why Cardiff are pissed about it, why the WRU are putting in a formal sort of objection around the performance of the referee and things like this. It all adds up. But overall, I mean, Ulster are absolutely delighted with it. You know, it's kept them still in the hunt. I know they're down in 10th now after that. But I mean, like, between the Lions, who are 11th, and the Stormers, who are 6th, there's only one match point.
And the thing is, if Ulster lost that game, they're almost on an island outside the playoffs then. And it's like, shit, like, because the games aren't getting any easier for them. They're playing Benetton next.
Yeah.
That is a tough game. I didn't think Ulster played particularly well here either. I felt that they looked, again, just like a team who were kind of starting from zero to an extent. But Cardiff, I thought they deserved a win, I felt. I know deserves got nothing to do with it, but I think if you're Ulster, look, you 100% you take the win. And then just look, because it's so tough. And the thing is, Munster were here last year, where you're down in the lower half of the playoff spots and you're looking around you for results. And they have to win that game against Benetton. If they lose that, things get a bit very, well, I won't say a bit, they get very sticky for Ulster very, very quickly. I think there's just loads of good players there. And I think parts of what they've done under Richie Murphy since he's come in, like, they look like their attacking work looks a little better. But there's only so much you can do midway through the season. Like, you can't, the momentum that they have from pre-season, that's very hard to just go, well, we're doing things completely different now. There's going to be mistakes. It's going to look like janky, as it has. But they're in really tense times at the moment now, where I don't see them not qualifying. I think they will qualify in the top eight, maybe 7th or 8th. But at the same time, one bad result and one result maybe going elsewhere, going in a way, like the Lions, for example, are playing so well, all of a sudden you could see a situation where they miss out on top 8, which would be a nightmare.
I can see Ulster being in a situation where they're going to be relying on other results to get them into the top 8.
I know sometimes you can feel like you can be talking shit about a team. Oh yeah, well, look, they're in trouble for the top 8. I hope Ulster get in. Like, I like Ulster a lot. I just feel at the moment, with the games they have left, there's 4 games left now. They're playing Benetton. They're playing Munster, last game of the season. They're playing Leinster. All those teams need something.
They have Benetton at home this week, then they have Scarlets away, they have Leinster at home, and Munster away are their 4 games. So, like, two Interpros, Benetton and Scarlets away. They're probably going to need at least 2 wins, maybe 3, I would say.
Yeah, you're going to need, yeah, like you're going to need to, you need to beat Benetton. Is Benetton home?
Yeah.
It is. They need to beat Benetton. They need to away to Scarlets. That's your 5 points. You have to try and get that there because Scarlets have been up and down this season. Have to get 5 points there. Then you're looking at home to Leinster. Depending on what Leinster's needs are at the time, if they're in a Champions Cup final, maybe that's something that maybe Leinster send a weakened team. You can maybe get a win there. Munster are going to be going all guns out for a top two finish in Thomond Park. Ulster already have a few injuries creeping into their team. So that's a tough one, you'd say. Maybe look, a losing bonus point there, you'll say, he says sneakily as the Munster fan. So like you're looking at that and thinking, if that gets you, if they beat Benetton, beat Scarlets, sneak a win against Leinster,
That's probably enough, isn't it?
that'll be enough for them. I think they'll finish top eight relatively comfortably. Could be sixth, I think. But drop a game to Benetton, lose to Leinster, lose to Munster. All of a sudden, things can get very sticky for them. And I hope they don't. But that's like that's. There's only a small few
I
games
had
left, and there's lots going on around them.
the game against Benetton. I had a quick look beforehand, and Ulster are have the bookies have them down as 12-point favourites
Against
against
Benetton,
Benetton.
really?
Yeah. I don't know whether Benetton are going to send a weakened team because of Challenge Cup knockouts, or there's an expectation there. But at the moment, Ulster are 12-point favourites at home for that
Yeah, because
game. I
Benetton are 4 points off. Like they're a win off top four right now.
yeah.
So like you look at Ulster, like they won their game and dropped down to 10th. They're level on points with the Lions. Now, hopefully the Lions will be leaving with nothing this weekend. But like if you look at Connacht, they're playing the Dragons away from home. So that's a game Connacht would look to try and win. That could push them up into fifth, results going their way. Stormers are playing Leinster. So if Stormers win that, all of a sudden they're in that conversation as well, pushing for top four. Ospreys are playing the Bulls. These are all teams that are around Ulster and where Ulster are looking to try and go. So all of a sudden, like, is in, yeah, look, there is an opportunity for them to move up. But if they lose to Benetton, who this season from a form perspective, are sixth in the league when it comes to winning away from home. Like they've won three games away from home, which is really, really good. Like Munster played seven games away from home and won three as well, but we've had more bonus points. But if you look at Benetton to be sixth in the league, like that's pretty good going. So they won't be afraid of taking on Ulster away from home here because Benetton are a strong setup. Like they've got a lot of quality players there. So like it's a tough one. I mean, I see in the script here that like Ulster have a few injuries as well. So
Yeah, they
that then
have.
makes things quite difficult.
Kitsoff is his season is over. He's going heading back to South Africa. James Hume has picked up what sounds like a fairly serious knee injury and could be out for a long time. I think they're waiting for medical opinion on that. And
Yeah,
then
like a
you also
cruciate.
have,
Yeah.
yeah, then you also have doubts for this weekend around Jake Flannery, Tom O'Toole, and Nathan Doak. So
Jeez,
that's a tough ask.
that's a tough
If they
ask
were
straight
missing
away.
those,
Because then you're what? Is that John Cooney at 10?
if you're missing those
I
and
don't see
Flannery,
them.
yeah.
I don't see them. Oh no, Burns will play 10.
Oh,
He's
sorry,
fit.
Burns, yeah.
Burns is 10. But yeah, no, it's tough because again, if the Benetton that we know we've seen this season show up and they'll have looked at what Cardiff did and they look at Ulster's attack and go, we can get at them at the defensive breakdown. That could be a tough game for Ulster, who like again, I don't think played that well against Cardiff. They hung on in there and got a bit of luck at the end. And supposedly there was a knock on in the build up to one of their tries as well that was missed. But I suppose it's at the point where they just have to dig out results now. And however they get them, like if it's a fucking ball bounces off a fella's arse and goes over for a drop goal, who cares? Like that's where they're at now. Have to get those wins. Out of Europe, both. URC have to get top eight. So whatever you have to do to get that, that's what they have to do. And it's going to be very, very tough.
Yeah, financially, they can't afford to be out of the top eight, I think, for next season.
Because again, just looking at the table, like, there's no room for a loss there, because like, they're on 39 points. So there's a huge, like, Cardiff are on 25 points. They're 14 points behind 11th, right? So Cardiff in 12th, they're 14 points behind 11th. But from 11th up until 4th, there's one win. Up to 5th, there's one win. And it's like, that's incredibly difficult to manage. So if you drop points there and you're on the same number of points as three teams around you, straight away you're kind of on the back foot, and you might not get that back.
And there's not many rounds left to make it back either, you know. So with those, it's a tough one. I think this is a really tough one to call, but I'd certainly fancy Benetton to beat the spread on that and be within 12 points of Ulster. I think this is going to be a very tight game.
I'm going to go with Ulster because they badly need it. Not they badly need me predicting them to win, but they need the win. And I think that, but again, Benetton, that's essentially going to be Italy showing up.
I want Ulster, and same as you, I want Ulster to be in ideally the top seven, so that they don't even have to worry about the Challenge Cup sort of winners coming out and taking that spot. I just think this is a tough one. I would fancy Ulster more to be able to do a number on Leinster than I think they would on Benetton. I think Benetton can get at their breakdown, and I think Benetton can hurt them on the outside, where Cardiff did as well. Cardiff hurt them down the wings, down the touchlines, and I think Benetton can do that as well. I'm going to go for a narrow Benetton win.
I'm going to go for a narrow Ulster win with them bringing McCluskey back in. Henderson, is he still hurt?
No, I think he should be available for this.
I think
based on the injury report,
they'll get those guys over the line for them. I think you're going to go with a narrow Ulster win.
Lovely. Moving on then to Lions against Leinster. Lions 44, Leinster 12. A big week from the Leinster comms team that didn't quite go to plan on the pitch.
No. Lots of good news at the start of the week for Leinster. But at the weekend, it just felt like it all fell flat a small bit. But I'm not sure what I predicted in this game. Did I predict the Lions win?
I think the two of us went with Lions. Yeah.
The Lions were a really good team. And we didn't see the Leinster team at that point, I don't think.
No.
I just felt, looking at the team, I saw some people a bit surprised that Leinster had lost that game with the team they'd sent down. And I was like, I'm not surprised that they lost, because like, that's a good Lions team. It's at altitude. I'm looking at that scrum that they had in coming into this game. I'm like, I'm not sure if that's going to work. And yeah, look, they made a few mistakes, and Leinster played really poorly. But yeah, no, it was a bad loss. And I think there's no getting away from that.
Yeah, I mean, look, Lions started so well. They had, what was it, three tries within inside 15 minutes. And Leinster really had nothing for them. They couldn't get a foothold. They couldn't get in territory. They couldn't find a platform to play and get in there like they normally do. They just couldn't find that rhythm to get the penalties, kick long into the 22, get the line out, start rumbling then within the 22. And they just couldn't make it work. I think they had big, it was very much to me a mix and match selection for this game. And strangely, I think this is the game that Leinster had targeted to try and get something from. I think the way Leinster had structured,
I could say they're sending Jenkins back up. They'll send a few of the guys who would be, you know, like Keane Healy, that would be close enough to that championship.
Frawley maybe, and that, yeah.
Harry Byrne, I think. But I looked at it and I was like, there's no of the Leinster game changers that they have here. There's none of those guys in this team. And when there's none of them in the team, Leinster are vulnerable, same as anybody else. Like, when Leinster add in one or two of their game changer players, they always have a chance against anybody. So if you took that Leinster team, for example, and put in Andrew Porter, Cian Healy on the bench, maybe start Dan Sheehan and put Josh Van der Fleer at seven. Just three of those guys, right? Three of their game changers. All of a sudden, that's a much closer game. Which I know you say, oh, better players make you play better. Yeah, but you look at Leinster's team, they have that group of game changers that when they take them all out, Leinster look completely mortal in the way that any other team would. Because remember when Leinster were going through seasons unbeaten?
Yeah.
And their second team was like, whatever, that's not the case anymore. So when you take those guys out, they look completely beatable by good team. I mean, Lions are a good team, but like, when you saw none of those guys in the team, you think they could lose that game easily. And that's got to be the challenge for Leinster now, is managing your top guys. And everybody knows that Leinster top team. How many of those guys, because again, like, they don't have them for this game against the Stormers, which is going to be, the Stormers are going to be foaming at the mouth for that one. They were beaten by the Ospreys. There's pressure on John Dobson. Like, if they lose, they could miss out on top eight as well. That's how tight it is there. So they're a point ahead of everybody else in that mosh pit. They can't afford to lose. So that's a huge game. And for Leinster, I personally think that they would have budgeted losses here. I think that once they beat the Bulls in the RDS, I think that they would have gone, we're happy enough that we'll send down our B team, essentially. They would have budgeted a point, at least, from both games. But I think that they would have budgeted those losses in, because the Champions Cup final is going to be before the playoffs this year in the URC. Yep. So I think they would have budgeted that whatever else happens, we'll have most of our top guys back for the playoffs. So even if we finish second or whatever, we're fine. I think they would have budgeted those losses. So not that they're not automatically going to lose on Saturday, but I would say they'd be doing incredibly well to beat the Stormers in Cape Town with the team they have left. So yeah, that's going to be a big challenge, but I think that they would have budgeted one or two points, but it puts them under pressure now.
It does. I think, as I said, I think they targeted that Lions game for trying to get something out of it.
Because if they got a regular four match point win there, and then maybe got beaten out the gate by Stormers, yes, you live with that. 4 points and a tour to South Africa, grand, like,
it's good pickup. Yeah,
good. Like,
but if they come away with nothing out of these two games, that really opens up the way things are at the top of the table. I think for me, the Lions game, as you said, Lions are a good team. They're playing at altitude. I think with Leinster sending back some of the coaches and the way that they're altering things, and potentially some of the players as well that they've talked about sending them back up to Dublin early.
Yeah, because Sean O'Brien, I think, was playing with Tullow at the weekend, so he wasn't even down there.
Yeah, and I think Jack Nienaber is being sent back this week. I saw something, he was talking that he was doing the defensive coaching early on the Monday and the Tuesday, and then was heading back potentially on the Tuesday night, Wednesday. So he was heading back to Dublin with some of the players, and we haven't even confirmed like which of those players are heading back with him. So I think, to me, that suggests that they went with the Lions game. Now they don't have it, some of those players. The players, as you said about, you know, the game changers, it's the guys who, even in the Lions selection, the guys like Deegan, you're looking at Deegan, Penny, these guys who are on the fringes of the Ireland squad, get called up for sort of training camps and things like that, who didn't make the impact. It's this Stormers game that they're going to have to stand up and be counted if Leinster are going to have a chance.
They're going to have to show that they can be level raisers for Leinster in that game, because it's like, this is going to be a really tough game for Leinster. Like, the Stormers, like I said, they'll be going fully loaded. They have to win. They cannot lose this game. So that's going to be a massive game under big pressure. And that's where you need guys. Like, they're going to be, they're kind of like the senior players in that team now. Maybe Reese, is Reese Ruddock down there? I think he is.
He is, yeah.
You've got Max Deegan, Scott Penny. Like, that's going to be a big, big challenge for those players to come in and just try and get that team over the line, because that was a fairly chastening defeat against the Lions. And the Stormers, if anything, are better. So yeah, it's a tough one, because, like, obviously Leinster, they lost last year. Was it, did they beat the Lions last year, didn't they?
They did. Was it the Sam Prendergast?
Yes, it was. And then got beaten by the Bulls. But yeah, this time around, like, going into Stormers, that's going to be a much more important game for the Stormers than what it is for Leinster. And that imbalance, I think, can be difficult to manage. So I'd pick the Stormers for this game. But for Leinster, they need a losing bonus point. I think it would be a good result for them. If they can pick that up here, I think that they'll be in a good spot going forward. They're playing the Ospreys next, which is going to be a tough one as well. The week after the Champions Cup semi-final. So that's going to be a tough game too. I don't see a situation where Leinster fall out of the top two. I'd be very surprised. But to avoid that, they need a point at least from this game. And I'm unsure whether they'll get it. Depends on the Stormers, because they've been very up and down this season.
Yeah, look, I think the Stormers, as you said, have been very up and down. I think this is a game the Stormers will target and will be looking at the full 5 points for this. We'll go for it. I think they're going to get it based on what I expect, and we're going without the teams here, so on what I expect the Leinster team to be, and I think that the Stormers will take this one handy enough.
I'm going to go with the Stormers, but I think I'm going to go Leinster losing bonus point either on the scoreboard or with a try bonus.
Try bonus. Okay. In terms of the top two, then, like as you said, you've got, what is it, Leinster on 54, Glasgow on 53, you've Munster on 48 then. And that leads us into Munster. Like, Munster play the Lions this week. Now, Munster could do the likes of Ulster and Connacht a big favour if they were to beat the Lions.
Yeah, and look, that's going to be a very tough game. And Munster are well aware that's going to be a really tough game against a good team who have real weapons. Like, the Lions have a huge scrum that wins penalties. They're really good on transition. They're a bit looser than the Bulls, as in they play more phase ball than what the Bulls would do typically. But they're a dangerous team. If they get momentum on you, they will score tries because they have a big maul. Like, they have quality all the way through their team. And, like, you mightn't they're the least glamorous name, we'll say, of the team. But let's not forget, though, back in 2015, 2016, the Lions were regularly making Super Rugby finals. Now all those fellas are gone, but there's quality in that franchise, and they're showing it this season. Like, they've been playing very, very well. Munster will be doing very well to beat this team, I think.
It's a very tough ask. I suppose we'll go back a little bit and look at the Munster win over the Bulls at the weekend, which, you know, the first European team to get a win in Loftus. It was Bulls 22, Munster 27. For me, that game against the Bulls there was two things that decided it. The first was the Munster selection and how Rowntree and the coaching team stacked the bench for them. And the second thing, obviously, was the red card. Those were the two big factors. Munster hung in.
I thought Munster's tactical approach was fantastic. We knew early, because at altitude, it's the first 20 minutes kill you. So we spent the first 20 minutes kicking the ball, defending, conserving energy against a Bulls team who, like, their phase play is not great. They're dangerous on transition. They're dangerous in the scrum. They're dangerous in the maul. But if you can get them into settled phase play, they become less dangerous and they're more likely to kick. So you have to be very solid under the high ball. We were very solid under the high ball. But we kicked very short. We kept them compressed into a box. So we were just like, yeah, look, you're bigger than us. You essentially picked five locks in your pack. but we're going to fight you in a wardrobe. So you can't get a big swing on us. We're going to stay right here in front of you. The Bulls want to kick long because they want to catch you on transition. We kicked short off Murray and off Crowley. But then in the second half, once we made our bench changes, we changed it completely. We started kicking long then because we'd done the work that we wanted to on the Bulls. They were tired. They were bringing on the fellas who were, after 20,000 kilometers in the air over the last 2 weeks, all of a sudden there were gaps. All of a sudden we were holding onto the ball now, not kicking it as much. And should have won by more, actually, than what we did. But for me, it was tactically, and as you said there, that was enhanced by the use of the bench. It was the best performance I've seen from Munster this season against a good team in the Bulls, who we made look, not second rate, but they didn't look as imposing as what we know they are, because we just nullified them so well. Rode our luck at times, but a fantastic performance. But the red card did have a big impact as well.
Yeah, like I thought Crowley was outstanding. His tactically, how he varied the game, his kicking. And then like as you said, the bench itself, the performance of the likes of Hodnett, Coombs, all these guys that came on and suddenly had massive, massive impact. And that's been what's been missing for a large part of Munster's season, is the starting 15 have been just about strong enough, even with all those injuries. And now we're suddenly going to a stage where you can bring real power players, real impact players off the bench, and can influence a game.
I've been hearing all year about how Munster, they don't finish games well. There were times when we had no second rows on the bench. There were times when we were bringing on like young lads who
finished their leaving cert.
Who just only finished their leaving cert last year. And we're bringing on lads like that who are good young players, but like as in not seasoned at this level. You know, Ollie Yeager we bring in, plays really well. He gets injured. So it was a nightmare for a while there, like where we were dealing with like one senior hooker. You know, we had Dean McBarron for the first half of the season. Then he gets injured and then Niall Scannell comes back. But for a while there, you're bringing on younger fellas who, again, look, who mainly play AIL. You know, who are coming in and we're trying to make an impact and struggle on the big day and bad weather conditions as well. But Munsters have to get on with it. And lost games that I think that if we saw closer to this team playing, I think that a lot of the games that Munster lost by a score, maybe they win by a score and we're talking about this team completely differently. But that side, that team that they had out there, which is still missing some key players, Dermot Barron and John Klein. That team can beat a lot of teams that would be heavily fancied over Munster based on the season so far. Like, I was very impressed with how they played and how impactful they looked. Gavin Coombs off the bench looked like a fucking animal. He was unreal. John Hodnett was superb. Tom Ahern, full slim reaper mode. Really, really good. And as you said there, Jack Crowley, I thought had an absolutely outstanding game. His, you know, because you know there's going to be critique over, you know, missing a incredibly difficult conversion from the fucking 5 meter tram line. Like these are easy kicks. But his control of the game, his game management was very, very good. His ability to move the ball around where it needed to be, his accuracy and his kicking, the height he got on those bombs, very, very good. Lots to like about his performance.
The other thing, and I'll just mention it briefly, is what was it? 2-3 minutes to go. Murray kicks the ball out.
Weird how that works.
Yeah. Oh my god. A team who can actually defend a line out.
Oh, you're defending a line out? And a mall? But like, and then once Munster got the ball back, they box kicked it again because that's how you see games like this out. And if you look
at back your defense.
Munster were half a meter behind the ruck. So there was no question. There was no way. It was going to be an offside. No way. Not going to give the referee that option. So they were half a meter behind the ruck. They were soaking up those tackles. The Bulls were looking tired.
They were just waiting for the chance to get in for the jackal, which had been a big part of the game.
Because up to that point, though, first 50 minutes, Munster weren't really going after the jackal. They went after one of the more obvious ones. But in that last third of the game, Munster were after fucking everything. And all of a sudden, that's a nightmare for the Bulls to deal with. they had been getting their rucks all their own way, more or less, for the first 50 minutes. And now they're all heavily contested, so they're driving more guys off their feet. They're pulling more forwards out of the line, which means that the Bulls are more likely to have to kick. I thought Calvin Nash and Simon Zeebo had two really good... Shane Daly as well, but I thought Nash and Zeebo in particular had two really strong games under the high ball. None of what Munster did in this game would work unless they were good under the high ball. Yep. And by the way, Munster scrum as well.
Stood up, yeah.
Stood up. Munster have the second least penalised scrum in the URC this season. Which you might think. And but bear in mind, we have...
Is that Jeff that just appeared there, is it? With all these stats? That's normally a Jeff thing.
I'm just double jobbing because I already did this today for my own for Tree Ray King. So I'm just like, I already know this stuff. So I'm just like, hey, here it is. But yeah, we have the least penalised scrum, our second least penalised scrum in the league. The Bulls actually have the number one least penalised scrum. But we held them out by being conservative. We weren't looking to go out there and go, oh, you're good at the scrum, Bulls. Well, we're going to scrum at you. Really aggressively, that's what we're going to do. Just hold it. Just hold it. Nothing like no point going out there trying to play hero ball. Just hold it. And that's what we did. Did really well.
And that's like going back then to the Lions game on Saturday afternoon. I mean, this is now a huge game. And I think the fact that Munster got the win against the Bulls and got 5 points out of that.
Yeah, massive.
Is massive. Because now, even if they come away with nothing against the Lions, it has been a successful trip to South Africa, right? And not many teams can say that. But if they were to win on Saturday, they're suddenly in a race.
9 points or 10 points even. Like, which is going to be difficult because, again, the Lions are very, very good. And the last time we were playing the Lions here, we looked like we were wading through fucking waist-high water by the end of the game. But if the Lions, if we can beat them, like you said, their finish this tour with 9 points or 10 points, all of a sudden, second is not out of the question.
Yeah. That's the big thing.
Because, look, Glasgow are playing Zebra. Glasgow will put 5 points. Well, they will get the bonus point against Zebra, without question.
Well, Glasgow have Zebra in their remaining four games. Glasgow have Zebra twice, home and away, but they also have to go to the Bulls and the Lions.
So, two very difficult games. They'd be doing well to get points out of those. They're going to get 10 points off Zebra, to be fair.
They're guaranteed 10 points, but they could come away with zero in the other two.
That's the thing. And if you look at that as being, that would have them finishing with 63 points, right? If Munster can win this game on Friday, or Saturday rather, we'll say with 9 point, with four point regular win, that will put us on 52 points. If we can then look at beating Edinburgh away, then you're looking at, because again, we'll go strong for that. There's no reason for us not to go strong. So you could look at beating Edinburgh away, maybe you're looking at, then you're looking at what, 58 points? No, you're not, 56 points. And then we've got two home games to finish. So if you can win those,
Ulster, yeah,
it is not out of the question. I was saying to get a home quarter final at least, we want to get 19 points from our last five games, which was including this Bulls game. So if we can get a win here, that would just leave us with a very doable target and, to be honest, a real shot at finishing top two.
Yeah, I think anything Munster can get out of this game is icing on the cake stuff for me.
Yeah.
In terms of the overall points for the season, I think as you mentioned it before, it's like it's not something they've necessarily budgeted in for getting points out of, you know, 9 to 10 points out of this trip to South Africa. So that'd, I think, overall,
yeah, that'd be an insane return.
Yeah. So in terms of this, I think the Lions are playing really good rugby. I think Munster would be doing well to get a losing bonus point or two out of this. I think they can potentially get the four tries, maybe get within seven. I think a win is maybe just a little bit too much.
I think that what Munster will do here will be a variant of what we saw in Loftus-Versfeld. I think we'll see Munster kicking the ball an awful lot, keeping it short against the Bulls, making them play, basically making them attack with the ball. They're very good on transition, the Bulls, or the Lions. let them play phase ball. Let's see if we can get at their breakdown. Let's see if we can force errors out of them, because they do have errors in them. Let's see if we can work that side of it. And again, I think that there's an opportunity there for Munster if we can make that happen. I think that there is a win here for us. So I'm going to go with a Munster win, no bonus point.
Perfect. And then the final game from last weekend, the URC, Connacht with a comfortable win against Zebra, 54-16.
I watched this game for a bit. It just felt again like that it was a fairly comfortable Connacht win in the end. Zebra, I've seen them play better this season. But that was not here. They did not look good here.
No. Look, Zebra haven't necessarily got the away, well, they haven't got away wins, but what they have been good at is picking up, they've been good at scoring tries and picking up try bonus points and stuff. But it wasn't there for them this week, or last week against Connacht.
It looked for the first 15 minutes or 20 minutes that they were in with a shot. But I think Connacht got a few scores that broke them and they had nothing left. And after that, then I felt that that Connacht ran away with it. Because Zebra then almost kind of threw their hat at it almost. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, and I think the other one then was obviously they conceded two yellow cards late on, and there was another three or four tries run in the last sort of 20 minutes. So it's... Look, it is what it is in terms of Connacht. That's what you have to do. You have to pick up the five points.
Put it away against teams like Zebra. Like, they're playing the Dragons away this weekend. Away from home? Look, the Dragons have been poor enough. But when the Dragons have won this season, like, it has been at home. All three of their wins have been in at home. Connacht have been quite decent away from home, relatively speaking. They have two wins away from home, which would be enough for 11th in the URC. So, look, I think that... that won't be a gimme game, but I would expect Connacht to win it. But again, this is the game that this season Connacht have Connacht have lost games like that this year, where you would expect them to go and win those fairly comfortably. But away from home in Rodney Parade, I see them winning it, but I have a feeling it could be stickier than what it might seem.
I agree with you, Connacht. Maybe even with Andy Friend, but certainly since Andy Friend has left, they've lost any level, I think, of sort of consistency of performance that's been there. And they are prone to these odd games that will just hurt them badly. And this, to be fair, is a game that if Connacht really want to be in with a shout and are serious of making the knockouts and, you know, having a chance, because to be fair, they were in the semi-finals last year in terms of the URC knockouts. Like, they're a decent team. Like, you know, it's not that we're sort of underwhelmed by them, but this is the type of game that they need to get the 5 points from. They have to go away to Rodney Parade, take the 5 points, lay it in that this is their marker. We're going to get the 5 points. We're going to settle down. This is going to be our strong finish. And for them, they've got, I'm just trying to pull it up here now, they've got, what is it?
They've got Dragons this week, then they're playing the week after that, they're playing
Munster. Munster away, Stormers at home, and then Leinster away for the final round.
Yeah, so it's like Stormers at home will be, again, that's a game I would expect Connacht to win, that game against Stormers, because that's the ones they typically do win. But round 18 away to Leinster, it's a tough one as well. Like, again, away to
Munster and Leinster away.
That's going to be a tough one because Munster have a lot of business to settle with this Connacht team. Certainly in Thomond Park, so that's going to be an interesting one to see how that plays out. But basically, Connacht can control all that by just beating the Dragons this weekend. Like that's where they need to be. So, like, again, like that's the big one for them. They'll be figuring, look, they've been good this season in patches, They've shown some good attacking rugby in patches. Yeah, they've been inconsistent. But again, look, there's no reason why you can't go to the Dragons and get two wins on the bounce. All of a sudden then, like, vibes are back up. You know, training's fun. Then you're looking, well, why can't we go to Thomond Park? Do the double over Munster, why not? They'll figure that they can do that. So that's it. But none of that happens, or it becomes much harder if they don't beat the Dragons. And I do think they will. I think they will.
Yeah, and I think they're getting close to getting a couple of their long-term injuries back. I think there's talk around Mac Hansen been back for towards the end of the season. Santi Cordero is due to be back in another couple of weeks. So I think they have more options coming back in. They have some quality coming back in. Need to pick up the 5 points here. Target, hopefully, you know, maybe Leinster are already qualified. Don't put out a first team at the end, last regular season round, and pick up something there and pick up the win against the Stormers. And that should be enough to get them into the top eight.
That'll be enough in the top eight, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Moving on then to what was a very disappointing performance from the Irish women in the Six Nations, 88-10 against England. We spoke a bit about this last week and we said the scoreline was somewhat irrelevant, but they needed to put in bits of a performance, and I don't think we got really either.
No, like 88-10, you can lose games. I know England are head and shoulders above every other team in this tournament, without question, even above France. But I felt Ireland looked poor, demoralised, almost beaten coming out on Saturday. But to be fair, I can't hold it against them, because they're at the start of a journey, really, this team. They're good young players, they're good players there. But England are... Talk about dominance. Like, England are beyond, I think, even that back-to-back New Zealand winning team in the men's game in the early 2000s when it comes to how far ahead of everybody else they are. I think when you're in any situation where you're thinking, just got to keep the score down, like, you're in a tough spot there straight away. Like, I think Ireland were gutsy, but looked leagues away from England. Leagues away. Like the gap has never been bigger. And that's a tough one to take.
I would agree. Look, England were just dominant in every facet of play. And it can't have been a nice place to be out in that pitch. It really can't. Like, I mean, you sort of, as you said there, like, it reminds you back of the stories of, like, Mick Galway calling Munster teams under the posts, you know, away in France, going, right, let's try keep this under 60 or 70 points.
Yeah.
You know, like, back in the early days. It's
so difficult because, like, this, like, nobody wants to go out there and get fucking hammered like that. Like, and they didn't train during the week to be hammered like that. But sometimes you're up against a team who are just, to say they're better than you in every single facet of the game is an understatement. Like, it's disappointing because I felt that, and this sounds shitty, but I think Ireland would have been saying, well, we could get beaten by them by 40 points, and that would be all right. But 88-10 looks and feels awful for that group, and all they can do now is just go, let's just forget that game ever happened. It never happened, actually. And look to Scotland. That's all they can do. That's the only thing you can do.
For the Scotland game, what Ireland need to focus on is, it's not even the on-field stuff. It's the mental. That's, to me, that's going to be the biggest point of it, is how do you sort of bridge the gap from all the really good stuff that we saw with the Welsh game and bring that to the Scotland game, while, as you said, just absolutely forgetting and it ever existed, that England game. And mentally...
Did we play England this year? I don't think so.
No.
I would remember that if we had.
Foot and mouth got in the way or something, you know.
I've never even been in England. What is England? Yeah. I have no idea.
I've never played there.
Yeah, Twickenham. How do you even say that? I don't even know. Yeah. That's what you have to do. And I hope that they just approach it that way, because I do think they can beat Scotland.
And I'm hoping that they can bring what we saw was there potentially against with the Italian game. You saw the potential there. It was realized in the Welsh game. And I think they need to bring that to the Scottish game. And if they can do that in Belfast on Saturday afternoon, they have a real chance of coming away with two wins out of the Six Nations, which compared to last year is a massive, massive step forward. As that you said,
a launching pad.
That's huge. That could get them into, what is it, WRX2. You know, potentially in terms of the rankings, two wins could see them up there. That could be a huge step for them in their development, because you're suddenly getting up there, you're bringing it up a level. They're years away from, I think, competing properly with England on a long-term basis, on a consistent basis.
It's very hard to see how that happens at the moment, because they're just, England are so far ahead. Like, they'd have to fall a good bit for that to happen. It's tough. It's tough to see it, because they're just so dominant. Like, it's ridiculous how dominant they are. And it's like, to a point where you kind of go, I hope that doesn't continue for the next number of years, because that will kill interest fairly quickly, both outside of England and in England. If going to the games is just, oh, well, we just win every game by 30 points at the very least, who gives a shit? Do you know what I mean? I hope for the tournament that other teams can catch up, or even if England fall back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, Scotland they've beaten Wales narrowly, and they've beaten Italy. So to me, this is the real decider. This is to pitch almost Ireland's level in the Six Nations, and I'm going to back them to do it. I'm going to back them to create what they had against Wales. They're at home. I don't think Scotland were that impressive, even though they got the two wins. I don't think they've been that impressive in their game so far. They've been solid defensively against the likes of France and stuff like that, but I don't think their two wins have been that impressive. And I think Ireland can bring it up to two wins, and depending on the results, then is where they'll be ranked. So I'm going to go with an Ireland win on Saturday afternoon. 100%
back Ireland to win this. I think they absolutely can. I think that they can get at this Scottish team. They've got the talent. They've got, like, there's a relatively even playing field here. They're playing up in Belfast. Should be a decent crowd there. I'm going to back Ireland to win. I think they have the quality to do it. I have a feeling it'll be sticky at times, though. But I back this Irish team to win. I think they'll bounce back. And finishing with two wins would be huge for the women's program. So I'm going to back them to win.
Perfect. We'll round it up there, folks. Thank you very much for listening to our ramblings and for supporting the podcast. Please do rate and review the podcast whenever platform you listen, as it really helps. And also be sure to share the podcast on social media. You can follow me on @OverTheHillProp. You can follow Tom on @ThreeRedKings. And Jeff, if he ever shows up again, is @TheLooseH. Hope you have a good week, and the three of us will be back next week to chat again.